Matt Goss, gift of the Goss.
Merry Christmas!
This is BFBS, the Forces Station.
When will I be famous?
Matt Goss, lead singer of Bros, singer-songwriter, the new king of Las Vegas, Strictly Come Dancing star, the list goes on. And it's so nice to talk to you. How are you doing?
I'm lovely. It's so lovely to be here. It's good to be back in England. It's good to have a chat with you.
What was Christmas like in Vegas?
Pretty beautiful. It was warm. I've had different versions of Christmas my whole life. New York, LA, Vegas, and this year, I'm excited because it's my first Christmas as a resident in 25 years. So I'm excited to be back and be able to walk through the parks and just have my dog with me. These are things that I've literally dreamt of if I could even pull it off. You know, when you kind of jump off the cliff and go, "There we go." I made it happen. So it's really amazing to be back. I'm going to be going to a swanky old hotel and no washing up this year. Because I know I'll get lumbered because now Olivia, I'll be like, oh, you do what? So, yeah, I'm looking forward to just be here and experience it all, you know, and just and have the weather, like the crisp kind of weather. It's just, it's amazing.
And what are you hoping Santa will bring you in your fancy hotel?
No, we're only having dinner there. We're not staying there. But to be honest with you, I just want a peaceful day. You know, I have a lot of faith. It's not just about the commercial side of it. I also want to use this time because people not here, this country definitely reminds me of people that are not here too. So I just want to have a settling kind of Christmas where I just feel family, feel my faith and go for a walk. Might even go to midnight mass, you know, because I just want to have a humble Christmas really and just enjoy time back in my hometown and approach it a little bit differently.
And what would your favourite Christmas song be if you had to pick one?
I think Fairy Tale in New York is right up there by the Pogues. I just think it's incredible that they managed to put an uncomfortable lyric into a Christmas song, which is a stroke of genius.
It was Christmas Eve, babe, in the drunk tank. An old man said to me, won't see another one. And then he sang a song, the rare old mountain tune. I turned my face away and dreamed about you. Got on a lucky one, came in 18 to 1. I've got a feeling this year's for me and you. So happy Christmas, I love you, baby. I can see a better time when all our dreams come true.
You promised me Broadway was waiting for me. You were handsome,
you were pretty queen of New York City.
When the band finished playing, they held out for more. Sinatra was swinging, all the drunks they were singing. We kissed on the corner, then danced through the night. The boys of the NYPD choir were singing Galway Bay, and the bells were ringing out for Christmas Day.
You
scumbag, you maggot, you cheap, lousy faggot. Happy Christmas, you're ours, I pray God it's our love.
The boys of the NYPD choir still singing Galway Bay, and the bells are ringing out for Christmas Day.
I could have been someone. I kept them with me, babe. I put them with my own. Can't make it all alone. I built my dreams around you.
The boys of the NYPD chorus are singing Galway Bay, and the bells are ringing out for Christmas Day.
Thank you.
Goss, Gift of the Goss.
This is BFBS, the Forces Station.
I know you've got a really special respect for the Forces. Your granddad was a gunner in the Second World War. You're an honorary captain in the US Army. What would your message be for our Forces at Christmas time?
Well, first and foremost, thank you for your service. I think anyone that runs towards danger to keep us safe while we're just living our lives, it can be somewhat of a complacent perspective and just an unspoken thing. What I loved about being in America was on Veterans Day and November 11th, you could actually say thank you for your service. And there's a real humility about the British troops as well, where you do say thank you for your service. And they're like, oh, no, don't worry about it, don't worry. And they kind of brush it off. But I really am grateful. I have great respect for what the troops do in a peacekeeping mode and also at war. I think there's an incredible side of it that connects to me. When we say, okay, bye, see you soon, somebody goes out to work and they come back and there's a kind of an understanding. But the goodbyes that some of these families have endured have been final. And even when it isn't final, the relief and the hope that they will see their boy and, or their daughter or their dad or their, you know, I think it's a much, much more heightened experience than we have. So everything about their families and the servicemen, women, everything about them, I'm just in a complete awe of. And as you said, my grandfather was a soldier and a gunner in the Second World War. My dad did 36 years as a detective and a police officer.
And moving on to New Year, what would your message for that be? Because I know that you said, like, we're going to choose if we have a bad year. It's not up to anyone else and we won't.
No, I think that, you know, sometimes there is this dialogue that goes around, you know, politicians and stuff that say, oh, just be careful and, you know, we're going to have this kind of year. Well, I think individually, if I'm an optimist and you're an optimist and our mates are optimists, then collectively we can decide what the narrative is going to be, not the other way around. And I think power to the proletarian, power to the people. And it's time for that to remind us how beautiful the masonry is in this country, the beautiful parks, the achievements in this country continues to have on the world. And I just want to be one of Britain's gentlemen and one of Britain's optimists. And I think that I don't want to feel weird in saying that, like that it's some like dirty word, being an optimist. Certainly as well for the troops and stuff, you know, many people will not be with their families. So, you know, we have to count our blessings and know how lucky we are as individuals. And if you can see it, then you can make it happen. It's not always going to be easy. I've had ups and downs. I've been challenged many times in my life, but I have had a much better life because of basing things on kindness and civility.
You've got big plans for 2023, including the MG experience, which starts in Croydon at the end of February. Tell us all about it.
The Magos experience is basically, even going back to before I was in Bros, I was in a band when I was 12, ended up being in many bands before that, then Bros, then my solo career, and then over a decade in Vegas. I've just learned so much about how to elevate and transport an audience with conversation, composure. I'm certainly very cheeky on stage and it's glamorous. I want to be the maker of memories. So I'll be with the Royal Philharmonic and the MG Big Band. So you'll be enveloped in a musical like experience. You'll be saturated in music and the intermission. I want it to be a little bit boozy, and where people get to know each other, meet like-minded people, and then come back to the second half where we can have a big party and just listen to songs that I know that people will love.
And there's a new album to follow that, isn't there, in June?
Yeah, I go into Abbey Road of all studios with the Royal Philharmonic in January. I'm excited about that. And I think it's just a continuation of my career and just keep making music, not be obsessed with chart positions and stuff. It's about creating experiences for people that come into my little universe and just lift them up. And we've had a really good run, and people that eventually find their way into what I do and end up having a good time and meeting new people and like-minded people.
Any more Bros gigs?
Yes, 2024, we are definitely going to start looking at new music first and then shows and possibly filming the whole thing. But I wouldn't imagine until 2024.
It doesn't sound like you can fit it in till then, to be fair, because you're also starring in a movie, Cobbler Killer Strangler, which is a psychological thriller. What stage is that at right now?
Well, it's fully funded and we're casting in January. We've got Oscar-nominated director is looking at it right now. So it's moving at lightning speed and I'm excited about it. And yeah, it's very, very dark and I'm looking forward to like immerse myself into that place. got a book I've written, which is Inner Philosophy and stuff that hopefully help people. And so there are lots of stuff on the horizon, thankfully.
And it's exciting to be moving into acting as well. And I know you said before that you wanted to play the Cray brothers with your twin Luke. Would you still like to do that?
Yeah, Reggie was a friend of mine. He used to call me many, many times and read me poetry and talk to me. He'd call me from Her Majesty's, and just as he would call it, and and he would pick up the phone and say, "Hello, Matt, do you want to hear my words?" And I said, "Of course I want to hear your words." So he would read poetry and share his thoughts with me. And he said, "I want you to play me. I want your brother to play Reggie, Ronnie, sorry." I went to see him, visit him in prison, just full of ideas and a very colourful character. And being a Londoner, a big part of, I guess, our growing up. And I would really love, if Luke would be up for it, I'd love us to play the Crays.
Ryland on BFBS, the Forces Station, with Gift of the Goss. We better talk sequins and spandex, because this year you learnt some new moves in Strictly. How did you get on with it? Because it must have been tough. You'd think someone with your background would be halfway there, but I get the impression that wasn't quite the case from what you said.
On stage, I feel like a king. I feel ready, and it's just my space. You know what I mean? I know what I'm doing. Four shows for 11 years will definitely round off your skill, but going into Strictly, moving country, bringing the dog in, going into an environment where you immediately have to be all of you, you know, and that's just not who I am really, because to evolve and get to know you, it will take a minute, but when I do, then I can be more cheeky, I can let myself go, my guard down a little bit, but that takes time, but that doesn't go hand in hand with Strictly. So I enjoyed it because it definitely was a kind of a bit of a slap in the face, like, let's go, you're back in the public eye, you don't get to go home, you're on camera all the time. I loved rehearsing with Nadia. It was an incredible experience. The physicality I loved, but when you're getting critiqued, you don't get a chance to be yourself. You have to take it on the chin and then go back into rehearsals if that's where you end up. But I think I got what I needed out of it. I'm in awe of the machine of Strictly. Hair, makeup, the production side of it is, I don't think any show come close to the production level that they actually bring. But I think I left in the right time and I got what I needed. I'm going for dinner tonight with Tony Adams. We're going to have a good old natter. So I've made some good friends. It's one of the experiences in my life, you know.
And what was your favourite song that you danced to?
My favourite dance was the Viennese Waltz. I loved it. It was Top Gun. I was very emotionally connected to that song and I really loved the way it looked. Couldn't get past the three with Craig for some reason, but, you know, you have to take that on the chin. But I loved it. I was emotionally connected to it and Nadia was like, felt like we'd smashed it. And yeah, so I'd say the Viennese Waltz to the Top Gun theme, Lady Gaga.
Hold my hand, everything will be okay. I heard from the heavens that clouds have been gray. Pull me close, wrap me in your aching arms. I see that you're hurting. Why'd you take so long to tell me you need me? I see that you're bleeding. You don't need to show me again. But if you decide to, I'll ride in this life with you. I won't let go till the end. So your head, look into my wishful eyes. That fear that's inside you will lift, give it time. I can see everything you're blind to now. Your prayers will be answered. Let God whisper how to tell me you need me. I see that you're bleeding. You don't need.
Gift of the Goss.
The FBS. The Forces Station.
After Strictly, I think you went straight to recording The Beautiful Unknown, which is your anthem of hope. What inspired the track?
It's really hopefully the removal of fear, trust in the unknown. I have been crippled with fear in my life, and like many of us have. And I think that that optimism and that insistence on optimism within my psyche, without any shame, you know, like I want to believe there is a beautiful unknown, and not just next week and next month and next year, but somebody you may meet, like you get a good vibe from, trust your instinct and say yes a little more often. Engage in what we have, and that is the right now. Biggest gift we can be given is our next breath. Why waste it?
I've been walking down Broadway, thinking about making new memories, and everything in me is falling into pavement cracks. This stranger's hand that I'm holding, I can't explain the connection. All I know, it feels like home. I can carry the weight of the world on my shoulders, but my heart has no protection. The silence that we're sharing feels like perfection. So if you listen, you can feel it. Feel my heartbeat in your hand. This joy feels good in such a cynical man. So raise a glass to the beautiful unknown. Be prepared to undress the soul. We just met, we're old friends. That's how life is and how it should end. I don't mean no disrespect, but I did not hear one word you said. Sitting at the bar looking in your eyes, your heart is in my head. If only you knew all the plans I've been making. I don't think you'd call me crazy, I'd kiss you right where you stand. The lights go on, it's not polite. Outside this bar, it's getting bright. Gonna walk you home, but I don't wanna let you go. Courage from the Dutch, but not too much. Yeah, we shared some stories. I'm letting go of everything that hurt me before. Raise a glass to the beautiful.
Gift of the Goss.
The FBS. The Forces Station.
I love how optimistic you are, and you're so full of good energy. I've seen you live a few times, including twice in Vegas at Caesar's Palace.
Really?
Yeah, I did a meet and greet with you. You were, as always, an absolute gentleman. What an amazing show. I mean, I can't even imagine what that took out of you day in, day out. It's a huge thing to do. And we'll come on to Matt Goss Day in Vegas in a minute. But what were your favourite songs to perform?
I love to perform the hits and reinvent them and put big band elements to them. When you do have a repertoire of massive pop hits, it's a really good feeling when you have no doubt that they're going to sing the chorus. So that's a real big ally in the arsenal. But one of the songs that I wanted to sing for many years, but I felt that I had to earn the right to sing the song. I had to live every line of that song. It was My Way. I've always wanted to sing that song with an orchestra. But I ended up singing it the last couple of years because I felt like I have lived every line of that song. It's a very powerful song, certainly for a man to be able to sing those lyrics. What is a man? What has he got? You know, that line, the energy that goes into that line physically when you sing that song. I remember the first time I sang it, got a standing ovation, and I explained to the audience that I felt like I needed to earn the right to sing it, and this was going to be the night. And it was just one of those incredible moments that became a staple of the show, and I ended up singing it for some very influential people.
And now the end is near, and so I face the final curtain. My friend, I'll say it clear, I'll state my case, of which I'm certain. I've lived a life that's full, I traveled each and every highway and more, much more than this. I did it my way. Regrets, I've had a few, but then again, too few to mention. I did what I had to do, saw it through without exemption. I planned each charted course, each careful step along the byway, and more, much more than this, I did it my way. Yes, there were times I'm sure you knew, when I bit off more than I could chew. But through it all, when there was doubt, I ate it up and spit it out. I faced it all and I stood tall and did it my way. I've had my fill, my share of losing, and now as tears subside, I find it all so amusing to think I did all that, and may I say, not in a shy way. Oh no, oh no, not me. I did it my way. For what is a man? What has he got? If not himself, then he has not to say the thing he truly feels, and not the words of one who kneels. The record shows I took the blows and did it my way.
Matt Goss, Gift of the Goss.
Merry Christmas!
This is BFBS, the Forces Station.
It was a record-breaking residency. Longest-running British artist on the Strip. You got the Icon Award at Caesar's Palace. You got the keys to the Vegas Strip. And 8th of August is Matt Goss Day. What happens on Matt Goss Day?
Well, I hope, first of all, people say good morning, please, thank you, and good night. For me, they didn't know that it was my mum's birthday. I was awarded actually the United Nations Humanitarian Award. And around the same time, I was also given the honor of being by proclamation of the city my own day. But it's my mum's day, to be honest with you. So to have Matt Goss Day on my mum's birthday is really a gift beyond words, really, because I really get to celebrate her, really, and talk about her on that day. She was certainly the most influential human in my life and the strongest person. I feel very observed by my mum, even now. So I think that's the reason why I am now less fearful of being optimistic and being having insistence on kindness and civility, because I believe if you use the currency of kindness and civility, you'll never go broke.
You had such a special bond, didn't you?
Yeah, she was my best mate and we spoke every day. It's not the bad times that necessarily I miss me, Mama. She was so interested, that's the word. She was so interested in my life, everything. She was so interested. And she said to me, the biggest compliment that she told me before she passed, she said, "You're not only my son, you're my best friend." Because she knew that I was interested in her life.
Mm.
So interested in her life. And she was, frankly, she was wasted in so many levels. I mean, she's so much dedicated to her sons. But she sacrificed so much for us. I only have the right to keep moving forward with optimism because she gave me so much.
Now that you're back in the UK and there's been a lot of change, an awful lot of change, but what do you think to the music industry? Is there anyone that you're excited about at the moment?
I love Rag & Bone Man. I think he's got a wonderful voice. The music industry is a very, very different place. I hope that physical sales and vinyl and that's on the rise. The sense of occasion for music and musicians, I hope that we elevate that a bit more as an art form. But yeah, I mean, I think the last person that really, really inspired me, it would be people like Amy Winehouse, and we need more of those. I mean, Adele has got a beautiful voice, but the last artist that really moved me would be Amy Winehouse, even though it's a while ago. She still, to me, is the most contemporary artist we've produced in a long time.
You go.
This is George Ryland on BFBS, the Forces Station, with Gift of the Goss. You have, as I mentioned earlier, just had an extraordinary life. In fact, I often think it must just be so much to process. You were so famous at such a young age, and what a time to be famous in the 80s. Way better than now because you didn't have social media, but still insanely full on. And you've had some brutal treatment from our press and from the music industry. Do you ever think what life might have been like if you'd just chosen to be an accountant?
No, I don't.
Good.
I think that, honestly,